I would say that that depends on your definition of the word successfully. I, however, am well aware that I am one of the luckiest creatures on earth because I get to go do a job that I dreamt of doing from when I was very young, that is an endorphin producing job. It's the most fun job in the entire world. And in fact, I have a lot of exposure to what other people's jobs are because part of what I love doing on stage is I do the time-honored, where are you from, what do you do for a living? I love to just talk to the audience. And so I hear a lot about the other options. You know, I respect the hell out of all these workers, but I got to tell you, from every story I've heard so far, I remain the luckiest person on the planet.
In any job, I'm sure you ask people about it. It's hard to balance family and work, and you have kids at home. I believe your youngest is 12. Does your job make that balance between family and work particularly difficult? Is it a harder job than most to balance family and work?
I can't say for sure because I would have to relive my life, which I am not going to do. But it is a challenge. I mean, I think it's the same challenge every working parent faces. And I don't know. We have little tricks that we do to sort of make the time when I'm away work better for all of us. One thing is, for years, I carried the books with me that I was reading to them at home. Any time my son called, unless I was on stage or on an airplane where obviously I couldn't get reception, any time he called, I would pop open the Hardy Boys and begin to read. But I'm home all the rest of the time. I take him to school. I pick him up from school. I do the sports and the this and the that, whatever it might be. So I think it probably does balance out the best it could be.
You said you didn't want to relive your life. Is there anything that you'd like to go back and change? Anything you'd do differently?
Oh, there's a ton of things I would do differently. But the problem is, even if, I had one of those experiences that movies are made out of where I got to relive my life, the problem is that although I might correct a handful of things, I would likely screw up some others. So I'll take what I got.
Paula, many of our listeners will know you best from the NPR show Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, where you're a frequent guest. I've spent many Saturday mornings with you in my kitchen. On Wait, Wait, you answer questions about things in the news. How much of your act, would you say, is about what's happening in the world?
Not a huge percentage, honestly. Probably, I don't know, maybe 10% of, like, if you just went to see the Paula Poundstone show kind of thing. My act is largely autobiographical.
Is it a strange fit for you, then, to do so much on a show that's all about politics and all about what's happening in the news?
I suppose it kind of is. I'm rather the village idiot of the show, not by design. It's just kind of worked out that way. I do feel that the others cheat. I feel that they are born into the world knowing more about current events than I, and that makes it not a level playing field.
Do you try to pay more attention to the news on weeks when you're on Wait, Wait, sort of cram for the quiz?
I do, but I also pay more attention in a different way. Like, I kind of have some sense of the kind of stuff that they'll ask over low these many years participating. A lot of the news of the goofy, which honestly, otherwise I would pay no attention to whatsoever. But I do for the sake of the family name. My children have been so disappointed in me over the years for how many times I've lost. When I'm done with the show, I go call the kids, and they wait with bated breath to hear how it went. And I can't tell you how many times I've had to say, Mom lost again. And they're like, oh, Mom. Every single time, they're crushed. I remember the first time I won, I called home. My son answered the phone. I said, guess what? Mom won tonight. And he was jumping up and down and shouting at the girls off the phone. He said, Mom won! Mom won! And he gets back on the phone. He goes, what'd you win? And I said, well, honey, you don't win anything. You just get to say that you won. And he said, that's a ripoff! That was just when, I think, his coming-of-age moment, when he began to understand the world.
At the end of Wait, Wait, you and the other guests play lightning fill-in-the-blank. You answer questions from national news stories. I want to help you get ready for your Boise show, and I'd like to play Idaho fill-in-the-blank. Are you game?
Yeah. By the way, I love Idaho. I just tweeted something last night. I said, you're not going to believe this because I can't believe this. I'm going to be in Boise this weekend. And somebody tweeted back, don't diss Boise. I wasn't dissing Boise. I love Boise. Been there a few times.
You ready for the lightning?
Am.
All right.
I'm going to do my best.
this you'll win because you're the only one in it.
Oh, boy.
And then you can tell your son that you won. You didn't win anything, but you won. Idaho is holding a hunting season for this animal removed from federal protection by Congress earlier this year.
Wolves.
Correct. An oil company wants to move 200 of these through a scenic river byway.
An oil company wants to remove?
Move.
Or move. Move 200, I don't know, oil tanks.
They call them megaloads. They're really, really big truckloads of stuff, oil equipment. I'll give it to you. After several months of negotiations, you're welcome. After several months of negotiations, Idaho now has to start from scratch on this political activity held every 10 years.
On this political activity held every 10 years. Well, what do they do every 10 years? I don't know.
Redistricting or reapportionment.
So they're gerrymandering.
A new rule says Idaho students have to take two of these to graduate high school.
Exit exams.
Online classes. State officials.
Oh, wow.
State officials just set levies on extracting this, an industry which is new to Idaho but has caused some controversy in states like Pennsylvania and New York.
Fracking.
I'll give it to you, extracting natural gas, which involves fracking sometimes.
Yeah.
In Boise, this 10-year-old downtown landmark may soon be replaced by a bank headquarters.
A downtown landmark? The Tater Tot Museum?
The hole in the ground.
Oh, my gosh. Why did you guys have a hole in the ground that was a landmark?
A building project was started 10 years ago. They dug a hole, they laid a foundation, they put up some rebar, and then they went out of business. And that hole has just stood in the smack middle busiest part of downtown now for 10 years. Nobody's been able to do anything with it. Now it finally looks like it's going to get filled in and something's going to get built there.
And it's going to be a bank?
Bank headquarters.
Oy. Only because no pirates are available to take the space. So now it's going to be a bank.
It'll be a bank.
I don't even have a savings account because I don't know my mom's maiden name.
You got more than 50%. That is a very solid victory.
I think I get Carl's voice on my answer machine.